Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Mike, you there? So we have an eventful show for everyone today. Season is over. Big major congrats to one of the best Super Bowl games I've ever seen in my lifetime. Huge congrats to the New England Patriots. Nobody wanted to see him go back, but honestly, it made for an absolutely amazing game. They went head-to-head with the Atlanta Falcons. I was at an awesome Super Bowl party, so one of the best Super Bowl parties ever. So big ups to the fact that I was in Minnesota at Smash. If you've never been to the Mall of America, you have to hit up Smash. It's like Dave and Buster's inside of a mall. It's absolutely awesome. Go-karts, everything. And so there was a huge Super Bowl viewing party, and we had an absolute ball. So, you know, thanks for the promoters for that. Anthony Harris of the Vikings came out, so it was great. But I was teased the entire game simply because I was like, the Patriots are going to win. And it didn't look good looking at 28-3, but Patriots pulled it off. Tom Brady doesn't look like he is any closer to 40 than a 22-year-old, and it was an absolute great game. So Patriots fans had a ball. We had a ball, just one of the best viewing parties ever. So congratulations to the New England Patriots, and congratulations to the Atlanta Falcons for making it another great season. When no one expected them to do as well as they did. They actually did a great job handling the Patriots. So we can only hope to imagine what's going to happen next season when they fix a few things, get rid of a few things. They've already started making a few changes. So they, again, will be a team to watch.
So how about that? So kudos to that. So today on our show, we are talking about teams in the NFC North that are the butt of quite a few jokes.
They are two teams that we have to discuss over and over and over again. They shock us either when they're doing good or when they're doing really bad. There's no happy medium with these two teams. And we are talking about the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions. So today we have gone ahead and taken it upon ourselves to check out what these two teams need, who's in free agency, and what's really, really going on. What's needed to get these teams from the bottom of the barrel. Now, no doubt, the Detroit Lions did really, really great this year. Really, really great. And I mean that as, how can I put this? Not great as to what we would have seen from what we saw from the Falcons or the madness that the Green Bay Packers were able to pull out at the end of the season. I am talking great in the sense of who in the world thought that the Lions, after everything that they've been through the last 2 years, could even have a chance to close out this season on top. So that's like super weird in itself. So we decided to figure out what happened. They fell from grace. The Packers, who were having a very confusing beginning to the 2016 season, came through. Hulk Hogan smashed everybody at the end of the season and walked away with the title. So we're going to talk about what changes need to be made when it comes to that. And then we're going to swing around and take a look at the Chicago Bears. There are a couple things with the Chicago Bears going on. Well, there are more than a couple things with the Chicago Bears going on. Like, every time we look at them, it's almost like crickets. So I don't really know what's going on with the Chicago Bears at all, but one thing I do know is they've decided to increase ticket prices. Crazy. And they've also, you know, they're dangling Alshon Jeffrey out there. They don't have a real quarterback. So they're looking at Garoppolo. Aside from the running back Mr. Howard is a beast. I don't think they'll have another good season at all. So we've got a couple fans who's been looking at free agency, everything when it comes to them, and we are trying to figure out what to do. So we're going to start with the Chicago Bears first. So our co-host, Mike, who is a diehard Bears fan, of which I am not. I'm from the city, but I'm not. And he is going to, you know, he's looking at free agency right now. He's going to bring up a few stats. He's going to tell us about a few acquisitions. Yes, there were a few acquisitions. The Bears are starting to get busy this week, like everyone else, who they've picked up, everything. So hang on a second. Let me swing around. Co-host Mike, are you there? Is he there? Is he not there? Where is he? Because he really wanted to do this segment. And I can't take, I mean, I can take it from him, but I wouldn't dare. I'm such an awesome co-host. I might have to take it from him. Maybe he's scared to do this. Mikey, Mike, are you there? So this is probably what normally happens with, like, all Bears fans. This is, like, the outcome. You want to talk Bears and you just get this. So there's that. Okay, so he's finding his way in. So now we're going to go ahead and kick off and start the whole the segment completely. So what we're going to start with is the situation at quarterback. We all know that Jay Cutler hasn't been a good fit for the Bears in a while, and he definitely has proven his time here has come to a complete end. So we are talking to Bears fans today. The first stop is the quarterback situation. And we're learning that with Tom Brady saying he is not ready to walk away from the game of football, that may have just put Garoppolo on the block to be traded. And for some, they seem to think that Chicago is this amazingly good fit for Garoppolo. So when we break down the type of game that we have, yeah, I can hear you now. Is Garoppolo an actual good fit? So we're starting with the Bears. We're starting at quarterback. Is Garoppolo a good fit for the Bears? Should that be what the Bears are going after? Do the Bears need to go after and draft a young QB? Will Garoppolo work? Will the Patriots really let Garoppolo go? Are the Bears going to pay a Garoppolo type of quarterback exactly what he needs to be paid as a lure and draw to come to the Chicago Bears? So we've had all kind of QB questions, and we haven't even moved into other positions. So what are you thinking when it comes to Garoppolo?
Well, you know, as far as the QB the position, period, we definitely need, you know, a new quarterback. Cutler's has exhausted his stay here, and after the family decided to spend so much money on a quarterback who couldn't even get you to, you know, a 500 type season, let alone a Super Bowl or the playoffs, you know, I think the writing is definitely on the wall for him. Now, as far as Garoppolo goes, I think the showing that he showed, you know, the play and his skills he showed when Brady was going through his suspension before he went down and got hurt, you know, he's probably deserving of the opportunity. Now, will he fit into the system here? I don't even know if he'll fit into the system, to be honest with you, because I think they're still trying to figure out how to use the people they have. But we definitely do need to do something about the quarterback situation. As far as drafting goes, I know that I forgot what his name is. There's one guy, one player, who's definitely interested in being the number one draft pick for Dallas. I believe he's a quarterback as well, if I'm not mistaken. I think in order to really shore up what Chicago needs to do, they're going to have to take a long lick at, you know, everything else that supports the quarterback position. I know they went and got a guard and some more wide receivers, another running back, and these guys were all put on reserves, you know, for future. I think as it stands right now, they definitely need to do something about, you know, someone who's going to be a good ball controller for. I like the current quarterback. I can't remember his name right now, that they had to finish out the season. And I think that he does deserve the opportunity to move forward, because outside of the, I think, the six picks he threw at the end of the season, outside of those, he did exactly what, you know, was expected of him in those, in the games he played and what was left of the season. I do expect that the Bears will not only do something about the quarterback situation, but they're definitely going to have to do something about the line, you know, in that respect, to getting us someone who can protect whoever they have back there. I know Kyle Long was out with injuries this year, and he'll be back. There's a few other players that we need to replace. We got to do something on defense with our defensive backs. This past year, we didn't really do well as far as, you know, defending or getting takeaways and pass breakups.
That's
and
true, but
interceptions and things of that nature.
It's crazy. It's crazy because there are some games that the team did do well. And I'll point out, well, probably the three wins. They actually did do pretty decent. I did like when the backup quarterback did come in. You can see the change in the chemistry of how he was able to connect with the players, especially Mr. Howard. The running back is awesome, but the O-line is not so good. So that's something.
Oh, no.
That
we definitely need
when
some
we look
on
at
that.
The O-line, though, and are you thinking, you know, this is something that could be fixed? Free agency, a couple trade moves, pull a few people off the practice squad. Like, where do you have?
Well, I think if you're looking at, you know, because we're definitely going to have to take into consideration what, you know, what's going to happen with the salary cap, who's going to move with free agency. Alshon Jeffrey is in the toss of, you know, possibly moving on and to a different team. And right now I believe his salary, let me pull it up for you all, you know, he's roughly $15 million for his salary for 2016. And these are all the free agency. So he's a free agent this year. Brian Hoyer is a free agent. Mac McCants, who's a right tackle, he's a free agent. Ted Larson, Eric Cush, they're both guards. They're both free agents. And what you have to understand is that what I'm reading is a top down, who, you know, as far as who has the most money being spent on them. So right now, Alshon Jeffrey tops it out with $15 million. Brian Hoyer is only at $2 million. McCants is 1.6. Ted Larson's at 1.6. Eric Cush, who's a guard, he's also at 1.2. And Jonathan Banks, cornerback, is at 1.1. Everybody else on this list is 8,000 and below. 800,000 and below, rather. So Carter Barth, the kicker, he's a free agent. Sam Acho. Some of these people you'll never hear or never even seen on the field as far as in, you know, full-time play on either side. They may have been on special teams or something like that, you know. But I think that the best way, you know, if they're going to do something to make some moves, it would be smarter for them to go. I would go with the free agency route. One, because I'm going to get somebody who's already been in the league for a while, who's a veteran, and I need that type of play at my guard and at my tackles, you know, positions in order to protect my quarterback. That's what I would do. I would definitely make sure I have something to shore that up. You know, when you have someone like Kyle Long goes down, and we see what happens when that happens, you know, because of it, you know, like half the line suffered off of one guy. You know what I mean? So we definitely need to be able to have more people that can step in, you know, and shore that and keep that line shored up. So it shouldn't take one person to go down, and then all of a sudden we're suffering and we can't protect our quarterback. That's not good. That means that you didn't do what you should have done as a coach to make sure you have somebody who equally step in and support that role. You know, so I think that's the best thing that the Bears can do. They have to start looking at how we're going to put, you know, what do we have to support our starters? What type of players do we have behind our starters? Could this player be a number one, or is he always going to be a number two? Because I'd rather have two number ones playing behind each other than to have a number one, number two. If I have two people that are both that, and then one is just a little bit slightly better than the other one, but the other person does the job well, I can go with that, because that means that no matter what, I don't have to worry about my line breaking down.
So now let's revisit something. You did say that it comes down to coaching. So with that being said, so we're talking about the QB position and coaching. John Fox. This is probably the first time in a while that we've seen John Fox with a lackluster team, and it just doesn't seem like they have, like, the get up and go to do what they need to get up and go get.
Mm-hmm.
Will the, you know, is it taking too long? Is John Fox the right fit? I mean, it's the obvious, you know, he's still there. They said he wasn't going anywhere, so there's that. But is he the right fit? Does he have enough tenacity and drive to get this team rapidly where it needs to go?
Well, I think he does. It's, I don't think it's a question of whether or not he does. I think it's whether or not he gets the support of, you know, the big house, whether he gets them behind them. I think that them allowing him another year is smart, because you got to really look at it. When you're a coach and you get hired from one team to another, you inherit whatever's there. You know, and then you have to work with those pieces,
John Fox can be calling shots and making these decisions. He didn't just walk into this position right now. So at this point, you know, he can be making a few little changes here. Like, what's up?
I definitely would. I think this season will probably be the one which will determine whether or not he stays, how long he stays afterwards. If they don't turn around after the dismal crap they did last year, you know, this particular past season, then I believe I pretty much say they'll let him. You know, he'll have to walk after that. But I believe that right now they believe they have the makings of you know, being a contender. And a lot of it is going to be in the moves they make with the offseason. You and I both know that. You know, this is a time when you actually take, you know, you look at what you have, you assess, you say, all right, well, I got Kevin White. He may be back, but I don't know if he's going to be 100%. But at the same time, I've got this great guy
who just broke out over here.
You know,
Kevin,
right,
that's my
whole point.
Get out of here.
The only reason I bring him up is because they drafted him and then he got hurt. And then he ended up being hurt. He's so funny. He's so funny. Yeah.
I only
bring him up so that I can shed some light on Cameron Meredith.
Okay, well, let's see. Hold on. Let's see.
That's the reason
let's
why
see.
I bring him
nah.
up because
You hear what he's saying about the Bears? We're not on Detroit yet, so hold on. We ain't get to Detroit yet, but he's saying, you know, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You so
how's it going?
Oh, my God. Here you
going.
Go.
I actually just tuned in. I had some dramatization, some social media dramatization I had to handle, but good morning, guys. How's everything going?
Oh, man, you
amazing.
Already got social media drama coming on. They put you back in jail again?
Not yet. I'm anticipating that happening within the next 20 minutes.
Oh, my God. Nas is always in Facebook jail. Facebook jail, Instagram jail. You been to Twitter jail yet?
I'm actually permanently banned. My IP address is permanently banned from Twitter.
From Twitter, I went to Twitter jail for the first time.
So
you
are talking to we are talking to someone who's actually been permanently banned from Twitter. But you know, it's only because Nas likes to speak his mind, and most people don't agree with what he has to say, and he can be a little what's the word, Nas?
Compelling.
Real.
Yeah.
Probably real.
He said compelling. So, man, we talking about these Bears. You know, and I know that you're a Detroit fan. You ride for your team, you know, and everything. And we're talking about, you know, the quarterback situation. Should they be involved in this trade with Garoppolo if the Patriots decide to put him on the trading block, you know, how is that going to benefit them? Should they go ahead and stick with, you know, the current quarterback what is his name? I can't remember his name. I just saw it. With Matt Barkley, should they stick with him, even though his, you know, he's...
No. What?
You know, so... Right. I'm just
that
saying,
was a Band-Aid.
You know?
That was a Band-Aid. Really?
Hey. They might like the Band-Aid. We say stranger things in the NFL.
Their
That's
whole
all
team
I'm saying.
Is a Band-Aid.
I don't know. I think Garoppolo is he's an excellent quarterback just off of the simple fact he came out of Belichick's system. But the thing about Belichick's system is Belichick's system only works when you're playing with Belichick,
when
I have seen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm not really sure how good that skill set would apply with the Bears, especially with the coach being a little bit conservative, unlike Belichick,
mm-hmm.
who will do, craziness like two-point conversions just because it's Tuesday. I don't know how that would really fit in the Bears' system. But his skill set, I don't think that can be questioned at this point. I mean – he's a Belichick person. So,
yeah, and,
I don't know.
That's one of the things I was thinking of, too. Like, you know, and we've had this conversation before about quarterbacks and systems.
I thought I would see something different with John Fox coming to the Bears.
He's a very conservative coach. That's really where I am with it. Like, you know, I would really like to see more exciting play. Chicago is that type of city where, you know, you got to be daring and on the edge with everything, especially in the sports world. So for him to be as, you know, laid back as he is, you know, as a description, I would definitely like to see him be a lot more aggressive this season, but in order to do that, you got to have an aggressive quarterback, you know, an aggressive game plan, and you know, an aggressive system, and that's just not what we have here now. We've had this conversation about, you know, quarterbacks and systems, and if you take this quarterback and put him over here, is he as successful? Now, obviously, Belichick has one of those systems whereas, you know, you can throw, like we said before, you can put anybody in it, and pretty much somehow they become a star. Same thing, almost the same thing with, you know, with Green Bay, you know, where they have that type of system where if you have natural talent, it's just a matter of putting you in a position where you can excel so people can see it. Here, though, it doesn't seem to – we don't have that. It's like playing chess in Chicago when it comes to putting the team together on the football field for some reason. You know, and I don't think it's hard to get people to come here, you know, to play.
Cool.
But when you,
okay.
I'm trying to be nice and give them some type of, you
no,
know.
No, we're
thing,
not
but...
here to be nice today. We're not here to be nice. This is the real
truth
on both
of
these teams.
The
because
the
next
truth
week,
is when
next
it comes
week
down
when
to
it's
it.
When it's Green Bay and the Vikings, I'm going in. I'm not, and I love. I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan, but I'm diehard for the purple and gold, and I'm going in. Damn, we're talking, unless something miraculously happens, I'm even going in on the Adrian Peterson situation. I'm going in. So this is not the night show. This is literally fans, what is needed? What do we have to throw out, fire, set on fire? Because they just increased. The Bears now have one of the most expensive tickets to purchase.
They have
to go
one of the most
game.
Expensive tickets
and
for a game.
They haven't
in
even
one of the
seen
smallest
the real postseason
stadiums.
In 9 years.
And right, and when
they
you posted
just
that
raised
the
ticket
other day,
prices
I read
again.
It, I really couldn't. I couldn't understand them raising. Why raise ticket prices when
that's
your
the,
record
that's
doesn't
the taxes,
in, indicate
that's
that?
That's the taxes.
That's
the taxes
Chicago
here,
tax,
but
though.
we wouldn't have that problem though had you had 10,000 more seats friends of the park put in a stadium that lost national monument status anyway, because we definitely would have had a Super Bowl, but that's a whole nother mob action,
you know,
show for my hometown.
That's the friends of the park for
so
you.
Whatever with that.
And I don't even
we
know
don't even
what
have
park
no
that
George
up.
Lucas Museum. You know what's really you. Know,
yeah. You did hear
hey,
about that, Nas, didn't you?
Here.
Yeah, we talked about that. They're not friends. They're friends of the haters. That's ridiculous.
They
yeah.
are haters. They suck. This is how
so,
I feel
but
about
as far
them.
As, you know, as
so
far
with,
as what,
with that being said, we're not here to be nice with the Bears, because if you're telling me standing room only,
then,
which a person fell off and died 3 years ago from, has anybody else at a stadium ever died from standing room only besides the Soldier Field? This dude straight
really.
Fell off the he died. That's crazy. But and now you're going to make me pay $250 for that. You're going to make me pay
what?
$250 to not see nothing going on the field.
Yeah.
Get out
of
here.
That's why people are going to say, huh? But if you
want
to talk about what
people
the Bears
won't
need to
stay
do,
home.
The Bears, I know they don't stay home. I got to do something on Sunday, so I'm going to go watch the Bears. But dude, listen, you know, if you really want to be honest about what the Bears need, they need a complete overhaul of their entire team pretty much.
Yeah.
If you want to go from top to bottom, they need a complete overhaul, period. Now, how do you do that and – you know, in a short amount of time and really get it to where you could be successful, I have no clue. You got to do a lot of trading. You got to you're going to have to pull up a lot of free agents, and you got to figure out what you got. Because right now they don't have a whip at all. They got you don't even get the W off of it. They can't whip nobody. Nobody. They threaten nobody when they step on the field. Nobody's scared of the Bears at all. No, you know, so they – And that's the sad part about it, that you pretty much they're gonna pretty much have to do an overhaul of everything. You know, now who do you keep in order to do that? You know,
you said they were getting rid of the McCaskies. Oh, I got excited. No, okay.
I wish. If you really want to, you know, because what people do understand about success, see, success in an organization is from the top down. So if the people at the top aren't making great decisions, you know, for the franchise, and we historically know that they do not make the best decisions when they pick up anybody. I won't say anybody because we have had some great players come out of here, but they end up leaving and nobody really wants to stay because they'll trade you for somebody younger if they think that's going to help. Hence, you know, Howard's playing now, but at the same time, Jordan Howard can ball. I ain't knocking him. You know, so he wasn't a bad replacement. But, you know, for when your number one draft pick never hits the field because he's hurt, when your number two or your number one wide receiver at the time, you know, Jeffrey is sometime you on the field or hurt or being held back for, you know, being himself and cash, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you got that type of stuff going on, And you can't build continuity on a team, man, where nobody's really invested in winning totally. Because at that point, if I'm 3-13, I'm really not vested in my season. I'm out here to get my paycheck and go home. And that's how they play. Man, we gotta show up, play this game today, dog. All right, man, we just do it after. Dog, I don't know. I might be to a gate. You know, let's make it strike, dog. Let's go bowling. All right, man. We sure you know it's right up the street. We just roll right over there. We catch Uber. That's
crazy, though.
On, you know, I'm just saying, though. You lost 13
crazy,
games. So 13 days, you was at home kicking it right after the game because what for? What you got to celebrate? And you can tell by the way they came to play, man. It's like, well, we just here. You know, and granted that most of their games, they didn't get blown out or they were in it, for the most part. But the bottom line is, you know, how do you repair a 3-13 season?
How do you repair a 3-13 season with Johnny Manziel? That's how you repair it.
Ah, man, I don't think Johnny would do well here, honestly. I really don't think he would do well here.
I do.
You think he do well? Well, you know, he might.
Somebody got to entertain you for $250 for standing room only.
You know, yeah. Well, you know, if you want to be entertained, and you just need something to talk about, you know, then bring some drama. It's better than if you don't pay $250, you might as well see some drama. You know, bringing somebody who can't win.
They will have to make sure that he lived in Gurnee. Like, don't even let him have an apartment in the shack because then it's going down.
Oh, no, yeah.
If he's
in the city, you can hang it up.
Yeah.
You know,
but,
he will be back.
But
he'll definitely be back to O's himself.
If they just gave him a trial run in Chicago, I would be there for it. I would actually go to a game. I would have
you
to.
You know, and it might, considering his skill set, you know, he may actually not be a bad fit, but
I don't think
you know.
He's a bad
at the same time, you still gotta we still gotta do the line, you know, because I don't think that he's been pressured enough or you don't want him to come here and get beat down. You don't have a backup. And then you're back in the same situation you were last year, trying to figure out how to deal with Cutler broken thumb. You know, so I think that they're definitely going to have to do some things to change it up. You know, like I said, it's overhaul time, man. It's like you want to rebuild, you might as well go ahead and just, like, tear down the whole wall and say, I'm using you. You got to go. You know, they did some signing for reserves and stuff over the past week, past few weeks or whatever, up until the last most recent one was on the 10th. They put Dre Anderson, a wide receiver, he's on reserves. He's out of Utah. Devontae Bosby, he's a DB. He's out of Pittsburgh State. David Cobb is a running back from Minnesota. Cornelius Edison is an offside linebacker out of Portland State. Jacoby Glenn and Capron Lewis-Moore are both cornerback and D linemen out of Central Florida and Notre Dame. And we picked up outside linebacker William Poles from Montana. Reuben Randall, a wide receiver out of LSU. Rashad Reynolds, a DB out of Oregon State. And Cyril Richardson, an outside linebacker out of Baylor. So just based off of the reserve and future list alone, you know, they've picked up a lot of defensive players, which is needed. You know, they picked up a wide receiver and running back. So three offensive players, and the rest of it was all DB, you know, all defense, which is what's needed as well. You know, we definitely got to get better on our coverage. It's coverage with our quarterbacks. Let it entirely too many passes get thrown. Not enough breakups. Not enough interceptions. You know, I don't even think we had a pick six all year. I got to go back and look, but if there was one, I'd be, like, really surprised, to be honest with you. But there's definitely got to be some change, man. And I'm hoping that John Fox is really taking a hard look at what he has to work with and looking at his free agency list and observing who's going to be available in the draft, because obviously they're going to, you know, I think they get the third pick or something like that, you know, because of their season. And I've never understood this. I guess if you're the poor team, you get to go first because you need the most help.
Yeah, always.
Y'all need help, but we're going to let you go first. You know,
and
I get that.
It used to really kill me, though, when people were like, oh, the season's bad, just give up and get, like, the number one draft pick. Dude, that might not be the answer. Like,
right, and that's what my thing is, like, that. You know, that may not really be the answer, is to tank your season so you get a draft pick. Why would you want to do that? Because you're hurting everything about you that brings other, you know, the makes players want to come to you. Nobody wants to play for a loser. I mean, it happens. We know it happens because people just want to play. But the bottom line is, when you get onto a team, you are going to that team because you want to help them win. So you want to be where you have the best chance and the best opportunity to do so. And, you know, come here to Chicago would be definitely something that, you know, they would have to consider as far as what needs to be done. You know, people are tired of not getting to the playoffs, you know, the past few years, and are really ready to be able to move forward and get another Super Bowl here. But
get a who?
Can't do that.
A what?
Get a what? Yeah, exactly.
I know, right? Hey, look, man.
When they gonna do that?
You want? Y'all want? I know. That's what I'm saying. That's the whole point. When y'all gonna do that? And that's my whole question. When y'all gonna do that? So nobody wants to, you know. And I'm not talking about get there and then lose like a few years ago. Who wants? You know, we talking about get there and win. So,
but you know,
I think they have
give them that season. I'll give them that season because it was like a Falcon season for them when. The Bears were all over the place. And nobody, there people were like, are you serious? They keep winning. So I'll give them that season. They are not.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. That one particular season, you know, that was a highlight, you know, in the most recent history of, you know,
with
Chicago,
Rex Grossman as
the
quarterback, they went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So don't tell me what a team could do.
Right.
Just saying.
Nobody
just
heard
so
anything
know.
From Rex since. So.
Oh no, Rex had a couple good jobs. What you mean? Rex moved around. Rex was like 2 5
moved
around. Rex moved around. Rex had some. Rex was decent, man.
I'm not taking away his getting decent. I'm just saying that, you know, since that one run to the Super Bowl, he hasn't gotten back to it since. But that's not taking away his success and him still playing, you know, where he's played. I'm not taking away from that at all, you know. But I'm just saying, you know, Chicago Bears, at some point, dang, we'd like to have another title. You know, we'd like to actually, like, not be 13-3 and
sneezed.
You know, not turning off the TV halfway through the season, and I'm just saying.
It must be great saying we'd like to have another title, whereas here in Detroit, we'd like to have a title. So,
we are both in the same boat. Unless it's like 1942, it don't even matter no more.
Yeah, there's only been one here. You know, obviously, my thing is, obviously,
no, it has not
the
been
Patriots
one
know something
title.
Everybody
no.
else does.
No. In the last, what is it, 35 years, it's been one. But no, you got to remember, like, the head-to-head very beginnings of the what became the NFL between the Packers and the Bears. So it's been more than one. But I'm just saying, like,
I'm just saying.
I guess people
like,
had
I'm
writing
about
pens
in,
or something.
I'm talking about in my mm-hmm. lifetime.
In your lifetime.
In my lifetime. That's what. Let me be specific.
I don't know. You
in
might have to
lifetime.
Pull an Erykah Badu. You might have to pull an Erykah Badu on this one because I don't. Boy, look at me.
It might be that. It might be somebody else's lifetime. I might
well, Virginia
the
ain't never been.
The way they playing
Virginia
right
ain't,
now.
Come on, Vince. Well, okay. So that's what you need. That's what we're thinking. So, of course, Bears fans, if there's any hope, any changes you'd like to see, considering you've got to now pay a whole lot more, as if we didn't pay a lot to go to the Soldier Field.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's probably one of the changes they want to see. They want the tickets to go back there. Change these ticket prices.
Hit us up on Twitter, Football Fan Rush. You can always follow us on Blog Talk Radio or TuneIn Radio and tell us exactly what you think. It can be as lengthy. You can tell us we're wrong, we're right, add your own twist to it. But we are going to be really working hard, almost like we're in the war room, to see what the Bears need to have another successful season. So swinging right along, since we have Nas on the line, Nas hails from Michigan, and he is definitely a Detroit Lions fan. So with that being said, I'm going to run through some things. Welcome again. So I'm going to run through some things because I had the pleasure of, well, we actually, for the last 2 years on the show, we were cheerleaders for Detroit, and then they got it first place, and we was like, nah, this is all bad. We wasn't serious, but this is not right. So they actually were listening to us, did what we asked them to do. We were like, no, we're not ready. So there are a few things I'm going to throw out here first, and I'm going to let Nas run away with it. One of my favorite beat writers for the Detroit Lions is Tim 20-Man. So anyone that follows the Lions know that this is one of the people you get all your info from. So he listed he listed a few positions that need to be seriously looked at in the offseason or just things that need to happen. He's concerned with, you know, having a pass rusher. So, you know, that's an issue. The running back situation, the linebackers, definitely a much stronger cornerback. He says they're good on receivers, but, you know, if there was another star receiver that they could grab, be a veteran, or just an awesome draft standout in any round, no matter what round he came in, that would be great as well. Also, like, he's looking at the defensive tackle position. So those are positions that he said are pretty key that the Lions need to capitalize on. Then I went over, and I did put this on our Twitter. If you follow Football Fan Rush on Twitter, I did put the link up. You can check your team and see who's a free agent, being unrestricted, restricted, undrafted free agent, whatever. You could actually see your team. You can see the salary, so it helps gauge the salary cap. And so when it comes to just some of the bigger names right now for the Lions that are up for free agency, which looks like the whole goddamn team, but we're looking at, like, Anquan Boldin and Tyron Walker and, unfortunately, not Golden Tate, but Tim Wright, Larry Warfel that I actually really do like, Garrett Reynolds, Joyke Bell. Which Joyke, I would not be surprised if Joyke did not come back. Andre Roberts is on there. Riley Rice is on there. And those are just the unrestricted along with their salary. And then the restricted free agency list for the Detroit Lions is a half step, and either with T.J. Jones, Kyrie Thornton, I think they should bring back. So you get to see the salaries and see what they're working with. So now I'm going to turn it over to Nas, and I'm going to say this. Of course, I'm impressed with Matt Stafford. I would love to see, I know Anquan is up in age, Anquan's closer, you know, that was my college life, but I thought Anquan did a really good job of being that veteran that stepped up and filled right in. It was almost like there was no drop-off with losing Megatron in a sense. So what do you think from Anquan Boldin on down, the changes that need to be made, these free agents that are listed, who should go, who should stay, who should get a one-year contract, and what should the Lions be looking for in the draft?
Trade bait. I would get rid of immediately Golden Tate. I'll be honest with you, his performances over the years have not been as stellar. And that probably goes back to what I was saying about Garoppolo working in a system. In Seattle, Golden Tate was the man. In Detroit, working with the coaching staff here, he kind of is subpar, to say the least. So I definitely would use him for trade bait while there's still a chance. The main thing I really want to see the Lions address this year, especially the draft, would be, one, they have no running game. And I would like to see that happen to take some of the pressure off of Matt Stafford. I think it's unfair to expect him to be the comeback kid every single game. I think that's a little ridiculous. Other things that I think should be addressed, the offensive line, definitely. Stafford has hit, I think, more so than any quarterback in the league at this point. The wide receiving core is where I would get rid of Tate and probably use him for bait to split for another top end wide receiver with some really good supporting staff around him. Tight ends, absolutely terrible. DBs. And again, offensive line. I think that should be upgraded effective immediately. That's the main thing. We can't get it. Even if we had a great running back, if we had Ezekiel Elliott, where would he really go to? He would be averaging two yards per run. We could get Ezekiel Elliott right now, 2 yards per run. If we had Joe Montana in his prime as quarterback, what could he really do? So, until those line issues are addressed, it's really, yeah. It's quite frivolous, in my opinion. But
I think the NFC North period has an O-line issue. All four teams.
You would think, because they all have that same issue. They definitely have
an O-line issue, which I know my squad
issues.
Got to chopping the O-line up yesterday. They was out there karate chopping like they was Future. Like, they like, this is not, nah, you got to go. Thanks for being here. Get your shit. So it was kind of like, they hold, you know. They got us, yeah. So with that being said, do you see Detroit taking more advantage of free agency? Do they need more veteran players to come be that complete part of getting them another run at the postseason? Or should they go younger and spend more time in the draft? Because there are quite a few surprise rounds. I mean, look, Dak Prescott, look what the Cowboys ended up. And he came out, was that the fourth round? Did that come out in the fourth? I thought it was like the end of the fourth,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So could the Detroit Lions have that type of luck? Or should they really be like, mess, screw that, let's go get some free agents and let's just, you know, hammer time everybody to the postseason?
The free agent thing for the Lions has been kind of, I mean, I don't know. I got to go back to that Garoppolo thing. Using that model, yo, they grab all these free agent players that were at best subpar. I mean, and then they implement them into a system where the staff and coaches are already, like, super depressed. They're drinking every night after practice, and you expect them to be superstars. Yeah. I think that what they need to do is literally just reboot and start focusing on drafting quality players and keeping them and actually developing them instead of hitting the panic button after the first season. You cannot expect a guy fresh out of college to come off and be the next Joe Montana or the next Reggie Bush. It does not work like that. Every now and again you get a lucky break like the Ezekiel Elliott's, but even with using him, again, it all falls back to the line. Look at Dallas's offensive line. Dak Prescott has about an hour and a half per play to throw to whoever you want to throw it to.
So
I don't want them to do the free agency thing, and I want these, just the proof is in the pudding. What's the guy? I can't even pronounce his name. Nagata or Ramen Noodle
Don't
Soup?
You call
the guy
him.
Got
yeah,
from...
stop calling him ravioli. Yeah, Nagata. Like, really.
where is this dude? Like, he was supposed to be like the second
He's
coming
there.
Of Sue.
Nobody could ever be that. And I don't like when they do stuff like that. I hate when they do that. Like, nobody can be in Dominican, and Dominican was in Dominican. You know, he
and
was it.
That's another example. Like, you can't, from my perspective, the way the NFL is, like, you can't, they try to give it with an NBA approach. Like, Kevin Durant is going to be Kevin Durant no matter where you put him. No matter where you put him, that's going to always be the case. But with the NFL, not so much, because look at what Sue did in Detroit. And then they gave him this super giant contract, and they sent him out to Miami. And what has he done down there? You rarely hear his name, with the exception of stepping on people and maybe slapping somebody's helmet or a face mask penalty. Rarely hear about him. So it's really more of a systematic thing as opposed to an individual player thing in the NFL. So I want the Lions to stop approaching it like, oh, man, let's go down to Dallas and go pick up Ezekiel Elliott. And then he runs for like 3 yards the entire season. And then it's Ezekiel's fault and not the Lions' fault. It's ridiculous.
And not the Lions. So now what about the coaching situation? Now when you stop and you look at, you know, now people are finally indifferent about Jim Caldwell being the coach that can actually lead them to a successful postseason or a successful season, just a successful regular season. What do you feel, though, when it comes to Jim Caldwell? As a
fire him. Fire
okay, well, that's the feeling. Nothing more than. I guess that's how you tell him how you really feel. Dear
fire
Jim
him
Caldwell,
and don't look back.
You're not the only person saying that.
We're flushing again.
We are flushing again. What do you? Okay, so if you had to look at the coaching pool right now, what do you see as a good fit? If you can name somebody that's in the pool of coaches that are, you know, drumming their fingers on the desk waiting for that call, who would be a good fit?
I would put Josh McDaniels out there. Adam Gasey, I would put out there.
Where is
Josh
he
McDaniels
going?
Is the,
Adam's
I
going
have no,
nowhere. Adam is fine.
Yeah, he's kind of
stuck.
He's stuck.
I mean, coaches that have lost their jobs or coordinators that have lost their jobs that could actually come in and be the next HC for Detroit and take Detroit to the next level.
I like, believe it or not, I like Kyle Shanahan.
He comes from a nice
Shanahan.
Lineage, though. He comes from a nice
yep.
lineage. Pops was everything, oh. too.
And low key,
but do you
kind of
think?
Okay.
Do you think
so,
they're gonna? Do you think they're gonna switch the coach? You think they're gonna do that?
No, because Martha
is table,
Ford is
but...
the president.
It's on the table. It's being looked at. Is you know, but I agree with you as far as I wouldn't be shocked if Caldwell was there for another season, but it is on the table. It is being looked at, evaluated. Could this have been the problem?
And I also Pep Hamilton from Indianapolis.
He's
the offensive coordinator there. He's great. At this point, I'm anybody but Caldwell. If you have a high school student that has a really good understanding of the X's and O's,
you
I will
need
be
a
open
degree.
To...
You don't need a diploma. You need a degree and some NFL experience. Like, what are the others? Until they break that rule. Cause, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, as long
God,
as you're right. If as long as you can write the letter X and the letter O, I'm quite comfortable with you being a better coach than Caldwell. I don't know that guy. I don't know why. I don't know how he ended up here. I was really optimistic at first when he first touched down, looking at his resume. But I mean, it took me a season to see. Honestly, as much as I hate this dude, I would rather have Jim Schwartz come back as the actual coach of the Lions before another season of Jim Caldwell. He seems
Fantasy.
Satisfied with, yeah, he seems kind of satisfied with this obscurity. Like, we made it to the playoffs. Okay, well, great. That's not the objective of the season is not to make it to
really
the playoffs.
I don't see that.
Yeah.
I didn't see
that's
that.
That's kind of like his, That's kind of like his thing, though. Like, don't fire me. We made it to the playoffs. How many people did that? Like, okay. And your point being.
Yeah, because he just made it to the playoffs.
But at the same time, yes, you did make it to the playoffs. Yes, you did. But here's the problem. You let Green Bay come take your title. Of your own.
Sure did.
Yep.
In doing so, you pretty much kind of invalidated your whole season about making it to the playoffs because you didn't win your championship. And you had the opportunity to. That, you know, so it's like, it's, how can you really be like, well, we made it to the playoffs, but man, y'all lost y'all NFC championship to Green Bay. And they won.
Right. And Green, that's okay. Green Bay beat who I wanted them to beat. Not the
right.
second go round. I didn't know what happened when they played the Falcons. Apparently somebody had knockout drops or did something to them. It was Aaron Rodgers was out there like, dude, what is going on out here? I'm throwing the no, but nobody wants the ball today. Nobody. So it was a little, it was strange that day. But they beat who I wanted them to actually beat. So
I got a question. Where's Josh McDaniels?
Let's see. Josh, where are you? Well, apparently nobody cares if that's a question. Let's see where Josh is.
That's pretty sad.
McDaniels, where are you? Well,
yeah.
He is.
It's really interesting how, you know, I think that both these teams are going to have a lot of work to do. Even though that, you know, quote unquote, Detroit had the better season, if you really want to say that, you know,
you know
by
why
numbers,
Detroit
like,
had a better
did.
Season? Let's keep it real. Had the NFC North not collapsed on its own self and imploded, Detroit would not have had that season. Detroit would have still been in the number three spot. Detroit got lucky and capitalized on the Vikings and the Packers for like five games straight. Like, I don't know what's going on out here. I get paid on Tuesday. Like, that's how they played for 5 weeks straight. They were lost. They just did not have it. So the Vikings, and when you're looking to lose, when you're losing divisional games and the Lions aren't losing those same games in the division, of course the Lions are going to rise above. But it wasn't like the Lions had, like, the Falcon-esque season where they were coming through just, like, throwing Chinese stars at people like, bell, we did this. And no doubt, they did
right.
have to come from behind. How many games just to win? People are going to start
all
watching
them.
That, like, if you will see. And that's not going to
pretty much
work.
All of them.
No, real talk.
Well,
so
they had a lead one. They had a lead one game, and I think they end up losing that one. I really
so
do. I think they only had.
To work.
No, you got to do. You got to do more than that. You have to have a clear goal in sight. You know, when it comes down to how you're going to build your team, and what you're looking to do for the next season. And I agree. You know, definitely agree with Nas as far as like, man, you know. I'm not getting rid of Stafford because he balls. But I am getting rid of some of these other weaker leaks like, you know, Golden Tate. And, I'm like you. I would keep Anquan Boldin because he's definitely proven to me. He got to produce, though. And he didn't really produce this year. He did okay, but, you know, I think it's just time for him to, you know, move on to a different team that can better use his services, and it's just not Detroit is just not the best fit for him at this moment in his career. From what I can see, you know, that could be that could be a thing of the scheme or, you know, whatever. But I do believe that Anquan Boldin definitely boosted them a lot this year and helped them out with his play, and to keep him another year, you know, as a veteran to lead that receiving core would be, you need that. You know, you can't just have all young people there and who's never been, you know, been there for a while. So you definitely do need that. As far as Caldwell goes, I'm on the fence only because, you know, like, cause, you know, Cass tell you, for the past two, three seasons, we talked about Detroit so much, it's like, sickening
right.
to a point.
So when
but,
they
you know,
put
from,
out in the universe, it'll come to pass. We did it on accident.
Yeah, so when we weren't really trying to, but it was more like one of those things like, all right, well, man, shoot, you know, we see what you're doing, y'all. You're too aggressive this year. Now you're like docile as heck, and now you found the in-between thing, but
they still have a ways to go to really be a dominant team, you know, as dominant, at least as dominant as Green Bay or somebody, you know, or Minnesota can be in the division. You can't mention Chicago in that because they haven't dominated in, you know, in that in the conference in a while. But with them, I do see there's definitely room for improvement. I mean, yeah, think about it. Regardless of the collapse and who they played, you know, all that being aside, they still had a pretty good season. They had definitely have more to build on than the Bears have to build on at this moment, you know. So I think if they take – depending on what pluses and minuses they ascertain from, you know, from this past season, who knows, you know. If they fire Caldwell, I wouldn't be totally surprised, to be honest with you. But I really don't think they're going to. I think they're – for some reason, I feel like they're happy with what he's done so far. And they may give him another year to see what he can do.
Yeah.
Will that be surprised? That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I wouldn't be surprised about, you know, any move they make, you know, as far as he goes. Like, if they let him go, I wouldn't be surprised because it's like, all right, well, man, you got to stay, but you still lost the division championship, so what? You know, which could very well be the mindset. Or the mindset could be, okay, we got to the playoffs. Let's see what we have to build from here. What can we do for next year? You know, that too could be what their, you know, what the angle is. And it, we're all on the outside looking out, outside looking in to speculate. You know, so for us, you know, it's all about, you know, our feel for it. But the bottom line is we won't know what moves they're going to make until they make them. And we'll either be happy with them, disappointed with them, shocked by them, or indifferent, you know, when it comes down to it.
I'm just saying, I'm available. If they need some help with recruiting and staff management, I'm available. I'm available. I watched a lot of Apprentice,
well,
and I know how to say you're fired really well.
You watched a lot of Apprentice.
Yep. You're fired.
Well, right about that.
You said you're fired.
I don't. Ladies and gentlemen.
I know.
New qualifications.
You're like, I'm just doing it. You're fired.
You're fired. Hey, you made it to the playoffs this year. Congrats. You're fired. You're fired.
Well, that's better than they've been doing. So I wouldn't doubt if they gave him one more year, but I wouldn't be shocked either way. Either they're going to give him another year or they're not. But I can't see them letting him go right now. I think they just need to tweak a few things and they'll be back in the running if they are mentally strong enough to do it. And that chemistry has to be right. So I'm not going to put them back in the number one spot yet. I really need to. We'll be spending off-season time with them. So we'll see how it goes, especially after OTAs and training camp starts. We'll see what we're looking at. We'll definitely revisit this again after the draft, see who they've picked up after they've picked up quite a few in free agency. Because they haven't been making a lot of noise. Like the Bears have started signing people, and the Vikings are on the cut. Everybody, your mama's not safe here right now. And Green Bay has done nothing. I think they're – well, no, take that back. You know what? Green Bay is Green Bay. They've done something, but it's Green Bay. They did release James Starks, but that's a conversation for next week. And so I wonder where he's going to go because a couple teams need running backs like mine. Okay. They do. So that's a key thing that needs to be addressed when it comes to Minnesota, that run game. That run game and that air game combination would be lethal. You know, I've got to visit next week the whole article that came out from the doctor that says he's never seen a person with Teddy Bridgewater's injury come back within a year. But, I mean, Teddy is, what, 23? Like, yeah.
He's young enough to do that. You have to take into consideration that he's young. Now, if he was like my age, or in his 30s or something like that, you know, this injury, it would take him a little while to probably heal.
I don't think so, though.
You know,
I there's some things that may help him. I also want to talk about, while I have everybody on the line, addressing the marijuana situation, and I am for it. I am for it. If they have a medical card and they have a set dispensary that these guys can get the product from and they're tested to make sure it is not a few other things, of which I won't put the names of a few other things out here and let you guys know how I know these names, anything like that. But I'm kind of for it because the amount of pain that they've been in, I play basketball, Mikey plays football, the amount of pain that they're in, to have a more natural way to cope with it, there'll definitely have to be rules and regulations. Like, please don't get lit before the game. Please don't do this before the game. You can do this on Tuesday through Wednesday.
If you want to check it out, ladies and gentlemen, I did post an article on it last week on our Football Fan Rush page on Facebook, so you can go there and check it out. You'll definitely have to scroll a little bit to find it, but it is on there about, you know, the changes they are attempting to make with the NFL and how they deal with marijuana use. Now, I'm like Cass, you know, I'm a former athlete, and I'm definitely for it, especially when you consider all the stuff that they give you for pain to send you out there to play.
Cortisone is now, like, so good for you.
You know, right, you know what I'm saying? Cortisone is so good for you. When I had plantar fasciitis in my right foot, they put me to sleep to give me the shot. That's how good for you it is.
Right.
So, you know, pain went away. I didn't feel nothing, but I didn't have to be put to sleep for it. I don't want to have to go to sleep to take a pain, you know, something to relieve pain. That doesn't make sense to me. So, you know, I'm going to be 100%.
Maybe Ricky Waters was on to something, and they just didn't want to hear it. Ricky Waters was like,
well, that's what it – well, there's also,
with a pound.
Another show that's going on. I got to find it for you, ladies and gentlemen, and then I'll post it probably next week or when I come across it. But there is a show that's hosted by I think he's a former athlete. I know he's a trainer, but he also endorses marijuana use as well with athletes for pain management. And he has a new show on one of the networks. It's him and another guy, and they're talking about this very conversation we're having.
Well,
how do you regulate it?
I do think they should get medical cards, and I do think they need to find a specific dispensary.
Go through the same thing, right? You know.
Yeah, have a specific dispensary,
you know,
and if you're getting yourself from anywhere else, holler back after that 4-game suspension. And I know people are thinking,
exactly,
well, how do you do? Don't know. And when you've been in this game and you know what people put on the what and the who.
You know. You know how to get stuff done the right way.
Right.
So, you know, it's not far-fetched for them to tag one or two dispensaries, you know, to supply to the NFL. Now, how do you do that as far as when you're dealing with non-medical states? That's probably a different situation altogether, something that you have to take into consideration as well. But for the medical states, man, you just go, this dispensary we use, this is the only approved dispensary you can get your stuff from.
Well,
you have your card,
the thing.
I
think that's not one of the few things that they're working out, the few states that don't allow it. And when it comes to the NFL, I don't think they're that many. I think they're like 3 or 4.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to look at LA. LA is they're a medical state. Colorado. So, you know, if you're a Broncos fan, you know, do your thing.
Colorado came with the hammer with theirs. They just like buy weed. That should be like the sign.
But the great thing about it, when you go do your research on it, because of the way their laws are, they've increased, they've made more, you know, the tax money made from it has been crazy. All of the, you know, violence has gone down, major crimes have gone down. That's because people sitting at home.
Oh, wow, it's a lot of states, though.
You know,
that,
there's so much stuff that's been positively affected by it. Yeah, Texas ain't trying to get on there. Texas need to come on and jump on with it because, you know, it's a big state, dude.
Well,
they could use revenue.
Mean, I wouldn't. Wisconsin, I'm not surprised. Really, Texas?
Yeah, Texas ain't on board yet. They still slow with it.
Virginia, what's
good? I think
in Texas, you can
only.
I'm just saying.
you have to, I think Texas has one where you have to, you can use it, but you have to have a specific, you have to have like epilepsy
no,
in order to get it.
Like,
you know?
No, if you're dropped for it, you have to have the, according to this, if you're ever, if it ever comes in question, just to make this paragraph shorter, if it ever comes in question and they find out that you have this substance in your system, you then have to prove that you have a need for it, but you can't get it there. So it's like somebody shipping marijuana to you or you going out of state, because I think Louisiana might be the closest they can go. Let me see. Where can they go get theirs from? Is it Louisiana? Or somewhere,
that's
whatever
deep.
It is. Whatever
yeah,
it
so,
is.
So, you know.
No,
out of the, there's
good.
Only one, two,
there's
28, three, four,
there's
28
five,
legal
six. Medical, medical marijuana
there's,
states, including
right. There's 28
and
legal.
Also DC. So,
there's 28 medical
there.
Legalized. However,
Virginia's
there's only,
not on there. Georgia's not on there.
There's seven with whoever done
Tennessee.
Who legalized recreational use. So
Richard,
if you are in one of these seven states. If you're in Maine,
don't do it. If you play in the NFL, don't do
Massachusetts,
it. Don't. Ignore this part of
Massachusetts.
The show. Don't do it.
Colorado.
Don't be like they said.
Hey, I'm just telling
you
where you can do it. Where you can do it legally for recreational. Now, yes, as far as no laws passed, Idaho, Utah, Wyoming, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, Indiana, Kentucky, West Virginia, Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina.
Now,
those
one
are
of
all
those
your
states,
no...
let me backtrack, because I just got hit by Mrs. Virginia herself. Okay.
Okay.
She said that while it is not listed as a state, they don't have a dispensary or anything there. It's not listed as a state. You are allowed to obtain in the state of Virginia a medical card for medical marijuana use. So, but I mean,
so,
that's not one of the
so
states
how,
that has a football team.
So how can you, but how can you like get, what's the point of you being able to get the card if you can't get the marijuana?
But you can get marijuana because basically, so if, right, I can get the card, but say I go up to, I don't know.
I can get the card and then I have to drive to Maryland.
Pretty much.
You said
right.
Virginia, right?
No
so
doubt.
I get
no.
the card.
In Virginia.
And depending
yeah.
on
and
where
go,
I am in Virginia,
or DC,
I can drive
DC,
up to Maryland.
Get my medical
Delaware.
Marijuana with my prescription and come on back home. And if I get caught with it, I'm like, yo, here's my medical card, here's my prescription. And Virginia will let it ride.
That's crazy.
Well, in all
that's like
guessing.
Texas.
But,
like,
hey,
that's
but
right.
you
know what? That's not. But I'll take that.
I would take that.
At least I can get the card, you know, and
right.
then if I go somewhere else to get it, I'm not getting in trouble because you allow me to get the card. I just can't buy it here. But
right.
how, do
like,
do,
Wisconsin
how do you deal
is
with
like,
that?
No.
Wisconsin
they
ain't trying to
have
man.
A prescription
and
for
the funny
it.
Thing,
yeah, Wisconsin is like,
now,
no.
And the funny thing is, like,
we only do duck hunting
you know,
here.
It doesn't even make sense for them to be like, no, because they're in between two states. They're like, yeah. Three states.
Three.
They're like, yeah.
like
so Minnesota, yeah. So Minnesota,
Michigan,
Illinois,
Michigan,
and Michigan, also
yeah.
right. And then on top of that, you got Canada right above you. So, but at the same time, Indiana's not legalized,
not
it, but you can go over to West
we don't
Virginia
even care nothing about Indiana. No, Indiana is not.
Yeah,
a state. Whatever.
She said Indiana is not a state. She took away y'all statehood.
Whatever. But what I will say, when it comes to marijuana and the medical use of marijuana, which means that it's not what you get on the street with 89,000 names of how well you'll feel for about an hour, the healing effects of it in the long term are so much better than being shot up with cortisone and all these other drugs. A lot of these other painkillers are what is helping that transition to becoming an addict. Because when you're out of the league, you don't have that access or sometimes even the money for the painkillers that they are shooting directly into your system. That stuff
True.
Goes through your liver. Those create long-term effects, which become more disheartening than favorable. So marijuana is natural. It's something that will always be here as long as you don't chemically treat it, dry it out, have a nice evening. But the healing properties that medical science is learning, they don't want to put their stamp of approval on it because they're still stamping medical drugs to help you. They're starting to see with cancer patients, with people with epilepsy, with young children, they're starting to see the healing powers because it's more natural. It's starting to help the body develop its own defense system or its own way of healing itself as opposed to the chemical makeup of 90% of these medicines, which break down your body's natural ability to do this. And in the long term, after so much of this, especially going through your liver, it no longer works, and now you're stuck.
Exactly. I mean,
we'll probably see more careers going toward 40. I'm not even gonna lie. Than ending at 25.
I wouldn't doubt it because now you're taking away that very thing that dulls the pain. You know, so now I'm not out there playing like I'm not hurt because I can't feel it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or I'm just like, okay. So it puts you in a position where you can be a lot more manageable as far as the pain goes. Because we all know doctors do not cure people; they just treat symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we do. That's all the medical field does is, you know, medical doctors, they are taught to prescribe medication and treat symptoms. You know, when you want to cure something, you find there's a cure for it. That means it doesn't happen again. But everything that they put out on the market has some type of side effect, you know, where, you know, your eye, you might lose an eye, your toe might fall off, you might have leakage, all this crazy-ass stuff just to treat a symptom. You know.
Nas, what were you going to say? What are your thoughts?
I'm not Bill Clinton. I inhaled, damn that. I don't agree with the prescription pill thing, but I'm going to be honest. I've been in pain before, and I've been high and in pain before, and the only thing it really did was make me sleep and eat, and the pain really didn't subside. So my thing is not so much with the actual trying to find an alternative to actually making it better for NFL players to not be injected with all of this crap, but I'm just going to be honest. I never smoked a blunt that made my leg stop hurting. That's never happened. So maybe I've been smoking the wrong kind of weed.
What you're dealing with is you have to understand there's two major chemicals in marijuana. There's a THC and there's a CBD. Your body has CBD already, which is cannabinoid for those who don't know what the definition is. All right, so the cannabinoid part of it is the actual medical part. That's the medical part and the medical ingredient inside of marijuana. THC is the psychoactive part. That's the part that makes you kind of like, you know, feel the high. So if you actually take CBD by itself, you don't get high. You don't get the psychoactive effect. You get the medical benefit.
These are things that people don't know.
These are things that
people
don't
know
because all they know is,
right.
Oh, man, it's just weed. No, if you want to really get to this argument or into the discussion, then you have to do some research and you have to go, you have to be informed, you know, and then you can come sit down with the table and have a conversation. I can't have a conversation with a misinformed person because it's not a conversation if you don't know what you're talking about.
That's the difference between medical marijuana and having that medical card and getting that prescription for it, because that's what you are to be prescribed. You're not, you know, the stuff that you get, you got $10 or $20 and you get it off the street. I've heard that before. I've heard people say it works and then it doesn't work, and then it worked last week, it doesn't work this week. Those
All
are
right,
things
so.
That people are doing, and they're altering the process of what it actually is and what it can do for you. And the medical state, and when that's prescribed for you, that dispensary has to give you that, period, based off of what was prescribed for you. And then you'll start to see the pain and healing effects. And it may not work for everything. Everything isn't for everybody, but it's a much better alternative than the amount of drugs that are put into your body that go through your system, including your liver.
Exactly. I mean, you know, breaking news right now. The Packers picked up free agent Stephen Gilmore a few minutes ago, yeah. From what I just see here from U Stadium.
Welcome, Stephen.
Let's see.
Welcome.
The Patriots hired Chip Kelly as their offensive assistant.
Chip Kelly, yes, they did. The Patriots now have Chip Kelly.
So,
they are not going to be great anymore. It is now anybody's Super Bowl.
It's over. You have now officially put yourself in the running for, you know.
Let's go, Minnesota.
You know.
It won't work. I can't play my suspense thing.
So that's what happened. Those are these two little things that popped up on my Twitter feed as far as what's going on right now with the NFL and the free agency. So, you know, congratulations to those two gentlemen. We'll see what happens with the Patriots now that Chip Kelly has taken over at the offensive assistant. Boy, I just tell you.
All right.
Football's
now anybody's Super Bowl. AFC is wide open.
Did y'all talk about the Super Bowl? Did I miss that part of the conversation?
Yes.
I
opened the show and I congratulated the New England Patriots. As you stated, it was Happy Tom Brady Day. And I don't want to hear any more about that last play was not a touchdown. Let me explain something to everyone, you Falcons fans and you Patriots haters. They were down 28-3. The fact
it really
that
doesn't matter
in
at that
overtime,
point.
Right?
Thank you.
Y'all should be just stop.
Thank you.
Stop.
Thank you.
Just stop.
Because at this point,
don't do
at
it.
That point, who really? You really can't, you know. And that was the thing. It was like, well, man, it wasn't a touchdown. I was like, you know what? Doesn't really matter. They let them come back by 25 points.
They can't. They went. You went to overtime.
So who can't? So like, they came back and took it to
just
overtime
stop.
On them. Really? You really mad? You can't be mad. I mean, like, it's just over now. And you can't. Unfortunately, there are no reviews or replays of the touchdown or scoring points in overtime. So ain't like we can go back and revisit it anyway. It's done deal, buddy. So whether
that play is on. It's available on YouTube. I've been talking to cats like all week about that. First of all, his arm had crossed the plane before his knee touchdown. They're taking a picture,
and that's all that matters.
So. Right, that was a good touchdown. Also, I want to say I was wrong. I actually said that the Falcons will get blowed out. I will say this. I didn't even break a sweat at halftime. I saw the fans on the Falcons, the Rise Up dudes and whatever, and was like, oh, my God, this is going to be so pathetic. Because I knew that the coach name was Belichick and the quarterback name was Brady. So as long as those two are on the field, the Patriots could have been down by 50 with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and I would have been like, yep, here you go, comeback time. So I was wrong in that prediction, but I don't think there's any doubt, and I would love for somebody to ever try to argue me down about the fact that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. There's no –
and I don't even like Tom Brady. I agree. I totally agree.
She said, I don't even like him, and I have to agree. But, you know, it's funny because what's his name is not giving up that title just so easy. I was just looking at the card. Well, who is it? Hold on. Oh, they took it down. I forget who it was. It'll come to me in a few seconds. Anyway, one of the past, Joe Montana, says he would not call Tom Brady the greatest of all time. And I don't know if that's because he's still alive.
If I was Joe Montana, I wouldn't either.
Like, I'm
if Joe, I was Joe
dude,
Montana,
I calling him the greatest.
Dan Marino, Troy Aikman, John Elway. No, I might. That's a little sensitive.
Right? Yeah, you know that's
they were playing football.
So,
when you could like hit somebody like for real, like throw a dude in the stands, and so they feel like he ain't playing through that. He ain't the greatest quarterback.
Right?
It's always gonna happen.
Come on, man. Like the rules have changed since he's been quarterback, you know, all of this and all of that.
It's
not like when we were playing. Because you got to think about it. Back when they were playing, man, it was all hoes bar, dude.
Man.
They were hitting major hits. Now you be like, all right, you see a hit like that every once in a while. And
like
you got to hope
it's not
flagged.
Like if they would have been Mike the Sound, those would have been horror movies. In the 80s when we were kids? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know. He needs to sit down somewhere. The game always gets different. I mean, I hate when people use that excuse. It was a point in time where playing in the NFL, you only had to have one bar across your helmet. So that means that with those cats. Yeah, I mean, it's the game is always evolving. And now we got this concussion thing going on. So it's going to be some changes in apparel. It's going to be some changes in hits. It's going to be more analyzed. You know, every year it's some new restriction or whatever else. It's like a car. You know, it's the same thing. Every year it's a new model and it's a different car. It doesn't mean the car that came before it or the car that comes after it. It's garbage, you know. So to win that amount of rings, and especially the way he came back, it ain't even so much the game. The way he came back and all the other drama with Deflategate and Goodell having to hand him the trophy. I mean, to even have that argument, you're petty and childish.
Yeah, that's how I thought. I was like, let it go. Stop,
you know,
guys.
I'm just
over.
You know, I look at it from the standpoint of, and I had to tell people this. I'm like, everybody wants to give the all time thing. I'm like, well, all time hasn't died yet. So what I look at as he's the best quarterback to date, and I'll give him that because he is the best quarterback in the game to date. But I make room for the fact that there's going to be somebody that comes along after him. Who will possibly do greater things than what he's done in this game. Dak Prescott is definitely on par for it, you know, and off to a great start. So, you know,
okay,
he probably
can't co-sign that yet.
You don't have to co-sign. I'm waiting for him to get another year up on this bill. I'm just saying he's off to a
great
start.
I'm waiting on him to get another five.
As his career goes. Yeah, you say a little size. You know, but I'll give that's about as much respect I can give. Like, you know, and like in Belichick's system, yes, he's the greatest quarterback today, bar none.
Okay,
I don't, you know,
I respect that.
I'll give him that. You know, but as far as like greatest of all time, I ain't giving him that title yet. You got a little bit more to you got, and it's not even about the how many Super Bowls you win. And like shit, you won the first person to win five. You know, you just the first quarterback to win five. That's it. But you're not the first person to win five rings, so it would be different and a little bit more significant if you were, but you're not. You know, so I look at it from a standpoint of, like, you got five rings in the past, what, 8 years? Has it been?
I know.
Or however long has it been?
I know Tom's like, what else do I got to do? What else do I got to do?
Nothing. He's good. He's
you don't really
good.
Have
to do
anything
else.
You know,
he's
your model for all I care, shit.
When you don't like Tom
Brady. You know, so I'm like, I'm just being honest with you. He ain't like my favorite quarterback or the quarterback of my team, so I'm not really, it don't bother me what he does. I could care less. I am not a Tom Brady fan. You know, and.
Well, I don't
and,
hate him
like
that much, but. I just, you know, he made it happen.
But I give him, you know, I'm not a fan, but I respect, you know, I respect the numbers in his career, and that's about as much he can get from me is that. That's it. I'm not a bandwagon person, so I'm not
going
to be like, oh, my God, he's the greatest.
My boy is
not
here for it.
I ain't doing that.
My boy is not here
for it. I don't do that.
So with
so
that being
it's
said
just,
and us now knowing, you're not here for it. You're not with the shit. Not at all. You're not here for it. We do have Nas. Nas is becoming a regular. Love having Nas on. But you got to check Nas's show out. Nas, couple co-hosts. One of them is our show producer, Ms. Danny. And that is Life and Shit Radio. You can find Life and Shit Radio every Friday. Is it 7:30 or 8:30? Like, because he's East Coast.
Yeah, and we're off the chain.
7 p.m. Central. Standard time is when the show starts. You can check them out on blog.radio. Our producer, Danny, is one of the co-hosts, along with their other co-host, Will. And the show is actually great, man. They talk about some very different subjects. It's not all, you know, the same thing. It's about life and shit. So, you know, they talk about life and the other shit.
And
it's a very wholesome
show. Everything—it's
you
no
can
holds
you can put whatever
wholesome.
You want under that title, and it's no holes barred.
No holes barred.
A few weeks ago, they had a show on sex. This past weekend, they had one about they did the '90s radio '90s music the other day. So, you know, and Black history and things like that. So they talk about everything: politics, sex, money.
You know, you want to know about it, want to talk about it,
all of it.
Give them a call on Fridays when they're on the air, and definitely join the conversation. You would not be disappointed. As for us, you can always catch us here on Blog Talk Radio on Sundays, talking about our favorite subject, football and the NFC North, along with all the other stuff that goes on around the league. Because, you know, it's we love this game. It's fun, you know. You can also catch us on TuneIn app. We are also downloaded to the Apple Podcast. Follow us on Twitter. You can do that at Football Fan Rush or FFRN. Just, you know, do a search and you'll find us. Follow us.
Mm-hmm.
Always ask us questions. If you have any suggestions about things you want to hear us talk about on the show as far as your favorite player goes or, you know, anything related to that, be free. If you want to just talk about some general stuff, we'll do that too. We don't have a mind. We'll make a little segment for, you know, for our fans and for our listeners to do so. And you can always check us out, like I said, here on Blog Talk on Sunday. So we definitely are looking forward to next season. We're getting ready for the draft to happen, free agencies happening.
And combine. I will be in
Indianapolis. You know, the combine is happening. So we're
going to
be in the Indy for the combine, and that should be an experience. We definitely want, you know, hey, if you all come out, come see your players. I think, is it open to the public now this year? The combine?
Kind of, sort of.
I believe
so. You have to register for it. You have to register for it.
Okay.
I did that. You know, I'm on it.
Yes. So we will be at the combine to see the future NFL players do is test out and see what they do. I might even just jump in and do a test myself with my old body.
Uh-oh.
And see if I can lift.
Uh-oh.
I'd have to do some major getting in shape to go ball right now. I mean, some major getting in shape. But I think it would be fun just to, you know, hold a combine. Like, we should do that, Cass. Let's hold it like our own little combine. Invite people out, you know, former athletes and
you
things like that, and just test ourselves.
We're
going
to have the biggest waiver in the world. Like, if you
you will sign the waiver, because if you fall over, it's on your own.
Responsible.
It is on you. I'm not responsible if you break a leg, tear a toe.
So with that
being said,
I'm excited because the Super Bowl gets to come to my second home, of which I'm here now, Minnesota. Really, really excited. A lot of big things are being planned. A lot of people are like, oh, it's cold. Come here. Come have a ball. Literally, if you're in the Midwest, this might be your best Super Bowl shot. Because I don't know when it's going back to Detroit. It ain't never going to Chicago. And it's like
it'll never be here.
4 degrees.
So, like she said, if you are in the Midwest
and
you want to go to Super Bowl next year, we all heading to Vinny's.
U.S. Bank Stadium.
So
it's absolutely beautiful. The things that are going to be going on. If you just want to be downtown has enclosed walkways. If you're really afraid of the cold, you never have to set foot outside. From Target Center all the way to U.S. Bank Stadium, Nicollet Mall, the restaurants. It's going to be cracking. Y'all should really come. Amazing, amazing city to come. Enjoy everything from food to Teller Two Cities. Go over St. Paul. Check out St. Paul. Great suburbs. Amazing people. So I am so proud that we're hosting the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 52. I'm so proud. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait myself. Like
going
you said,
down.
It's close enough to drive to now.
So nah, get a Coke. Come on. What's up? Get a Coke.
Yeah, you might as well, man.
I know it's not Miami.
You might as well start.
When does it come to Miami? Is it in 2 years? We'll be back down to Miami? Is it 2 years?
I believe so.
Because we go to Atlanta and then Miami.
I have it up? Yeah, I could. You know what? I have to revisit Miami because my first trip there didn't leave a good taste in my mouth at all. So I need to revisit so I can, like, you know, have a better feeling about Miami and about what it has to offer. I spent two weeks there and was like, I'm over it. My hands hurt. I'm going home.
Well, we've got 60 seconds left. We want to thank you guys for tuning in, despite the fact that football is gone for now. But we're still here to keep up with all of the highlights, the moves, the shakes, the laughs, the fun, the diehard fan opinion. So thank you. We can't
we
wait
definitely
for
be
you guys
you
tune
all
in.
Posted.
Definitely. So we'll talk to you guys next week.
You all have a great day. It's actually 47 degrees in Chicago today. I'm pretty sure some person is outside with some shorts and t-shirt like a fool. But hey, go outside and enjoy yourself, get some fresh air, and we will catch you all the next time around. Nas, as always, thank you for coming on to the show, chit chatting with us, man. We definitely appreciate it. Love when you come on because you bring your sense of humor, and it's just always off the chain. In other words, you all have a great day, and we will talk to you all next week. Be cool.